是很高兴大家能够在今天下午，因为今天下午我知道同时有好多个活动在校内外都有，然后大家可以选择我们这个活动，我很高兴。我是陈韵，我是西天中土这个项目的一个执行人吧。大家在桌上可以看到一些我们之前的出版物，包括这个新出来的那个2010年展览的画册，然后这一套书我们会常年的放在2666图书馆，然后供可能是某一个格子里面吧，供大家取阅，包括一些以前的节目单啊什么的。然后同时呢，我也希望如果大家有兴趣的话，可以在这边买或者在网上买。这本画册可能是只能在这边买，也比较贵。那其他的书，我们那一套读本呢，我们马上世纪文景今年6月份会出再版，所以也希望大家能关注一下印度的当代的学术书潮和他们的艺术。那本《你不属于》这本书呢，也是我们去年出的一本影展的一本读物，应该说还是挺不错的。大家有兴趣，我也可以在网上买或者在我们这儿买。那我今天主要要介绍的呢，是我们一个印度的艺术家小组，是来自德里的 Rex， Rex Media Collective， 他名字叫 Rex 媒体小组，所以其实他们的工作出发点呢是跟媒体很有关系的。可是他们在过去的可能十几二十年当中呢，逐渐形成了一种自己的创作的方式和介入这个社会的方法。所以当我们说他们是艺术家或者是媒体艺术家的时候呢，可能我们没有完全的把握到他们的核心，他们的一个精髓。所以我觉得今天当他们第一次在中国系统的介绍他们的工作，可能大家可以针对性的提出一些问题。那这工作我觉得主要分两个方面，一方面是他们作为创作主体，我不说是艺术家，但他们作为一个作者的一种创作，那他们的作品啊，以及他们怎么样在那么多年对不同的问题进行关注，这样的一个演化过程，这是第一个。第二个呢，他们在德里的那个 CSDS 有一个 Sarai 的一个项目，德里的发展中社会研究中心下属的一个已经有11年历史的一个项目。这个项目呢，很大程度上的改变了很多的这个知识面貌，尤其是在针对城市的研究的一些面貌。所以我觉得可能在过去十几年当中，已经有新的一代年轻人成长了起来，而且他们不一定在德里，也有可能在印度的其他地方。然后在现在前两天跟他们聊的时候，他们也提到说，现在德里的那个这个整个的艺术界来讲，光就艺术界来讲，是一种前所未有的热烈，就是你觉得所有的事情都在德里发生着，而这种场面可能在过去的几十年当中都是没有过的。那这个场面的发生也跟 Rex 他的这一块关于 Sarai 这个计划的工作是密不可分的，所以我会请他们把这两方面的事情呢都跟大家介绍一下。所以我觉得大家在这个过程当中有任何的问题都可以提出来，不管是事实层面的、背景层面的，还是技术层面的、学术层面的、艺术层面都可以。我们在这里有艺术家，也有作家，真正或者说有年轻的知识分子。
20 years now, and Sarai is also 12 years. So what I will do is take a little moment of the present, some invitation that we got, and how we have to think differently. That may give you an idea how to move from the present to our various different works that we have been doing.So we were recently invited by a foundation in Delhi who has a big art, it's a private foundation like many in China, who has a private collection, and then they have a big building where they show this collection every year. It has been now for 5 years and they show collections. So they invited us to do to think of a show from the work that we have been doing in Sarai for the last 12 years. Also the kind of artistic discussion around contemporary art and intellectual, general intellectual life that we have been interested in. So
就是我今天呢，就是从今天现在的我们一些工作出发，然后呢来向大家交代我们过去一路走来的这个历程。那我就从我现在在我们现三个人在一起已经有20年的时间了，然后 Sarai 这个项目做的已经有12年了，所以我们现在呢正在手头要开始着手做的是接受到的一个邀请，是来自印度的一个 Jadavi Art Foundation， 它有点像我们中国这边很多的私人基金会那种艺术机构，它也有一个挺好的一个收藏。然后它呢是今年已经有5年了，我们今年会在那边做一系列的展览和项目。然后呢这个是等于是把我们过去12年在 Sarai 这个机构当中所做成的事情作为一个梳理，同时也是做一个推进。
So we had, it was a very interesting proposition. Is that how do you approach an exhibition with a work or series of works that have been done in a public that has changed? So take for example this public. This public is something that was not there 10 years back and now they have appeared. And we have to do a way of, we have doing work in front of them, way of showing and enacting in front of them that has the energies and the roots that one has excavated over the last 10 years. So it is an intellectual problem that how do you show a way of doing things, not things, but way of doing things to a public that did not know you before.
Mm. 那我们想的是在这个展览当中我们的一个策略是我们并不是在把一个已知的已然做好的东西来给一个公众，而是这个问题是我们如何把已经做过的事情来呈现给一个在不断变化的一个公众。就好比说今天的这个公众，今天我们在场的这样一个所谓的这个 public 并不是已然如此的，它可能在去年在前年还不存在。那对 Sarai 来讲，在过去的十年当中，随着 Sarai 这个计划的一个推进，其实 Sarai 一直在面对的是一个成型中的一个公众，也就是说这个公众在 Sarai 之前是不存在的，然后这个公众在 Sarai 的过程当中也不断的在自我变化，所以呢我们的这个现在这个展览的这个呈现的一个方式可能不是呈现事物本身，而是呈现如何做事情这件事情，做事情的方式这件事情，在你面对这样一个不断变化的对象的时候。
Kind of a numbers is in the sense that in Sarai when we worked, we started Sarai in 2000, there's about 1,000 people who have passed through Sarai making work, doing research, doing all kinds of things. So when you are staging an exhibition that is going to happen over a period of time, how do you produce an image, starting image, to start with, that captures the presence of 1,000 people? Our intellectual question to us was, how do you create an image that captures a huge amount of people and yet not to be dominated by that presence, in the sense that yet keeping alive the question that something new is going to come out of it. So how do you show that there are 1,000 people working, has worked, they have interacted, they have produced, and yet not to say that this is a big achievement, but this is the base on which the new has to be produced.
那同时我们其实在2000年成立 Sarai 这个项目的时候到现在12年间已经有1000个人穿过我们的这个计划，就是他们来了他们也走了，同时他们做了一些事情。那我们在现在这个时刻去呈现他们的时候，那么我们面对的一个知识性的问题就是我们如何把这个1000个人的存在在当下勾勒出一个图景，一个形象，而这个形象不是封闭式的，好像在说我们的成就是如何如何，我们已经如何如何，而是它仍然作为一个基础，那么在这个基础之上，我们仍然对未来是有一个可能性的。
So this is also a question of time that we engage with in our work, and this also produces the relationship with Sarai, relationship with what we do, is that time is something that one inhabits, but there is always a question is, where do you stand regarding the time? So either you erase, or you build, or you amplify, or you create a new dimension of time. So there is, so two ways that we work, and you will see some, we'll try to show you some of the work and then connect it with this, is a kind of you produce an interruption in time, you just don't produce a continuity, you produce an interruption, and also search the new potential that will come out of that interruption.
所以我们其实在面对的一个问题是关于时间的问题，那你到底如何处理你和时间的关系在这个层面上，也就是说你可能是你是抹杀时间，你也可能是放大时间，或者是建构时间。那在这个处理的这过程当中，我想给大家看一些项目、一些作品和图案，就是说我们是怎么样去使得这个时间在此刻具有一种开放性，而且我想说的是一种干预性的一种对时间的处理方式，就不是去终止这个时间的这个延续。
So one of our deep concern has been this relationship with time, and coming from so-called and you have so-called post-colonial societies where you are where you have a very complicated relationship to time, because you inhabit time in a way that you are a little puzzled as to which kind of time you will set yourself up. You know, there are all kinds of questions of continuity, there are all kinds of disruptions, there are breakdowns, and then there are new that you may not sometimes identify with and you want to produce something else. So this relationship to the new, to the breakdowns and ruptures of the continuities, as well as what kind of ways in which you inhabit time, is something that has been our preoccupation for the last 20 years, and more so now in the last 5-7 years.
那这个跟时间的这种关系呢，可能在我们一个后殖民的这个状况下是特别的突出。也就是说，在这个殖民经验之后呢，你经常有一种对于时间的一个非常非常微妙的关系，就是说，比如说，经常有一种时间的中断和时间的干预，然后经常有一种新的东西出现，也跟殖民或者后殖民的状况有关系，一种新的东西的出现，新的时刻的出现。可是你又经常觉得这个新的东西不是你要的，你又想要的是别的东西。就在这样的一个，就所以说这个时间这个问题是我们在过去20年这三个人在一起工作的时候核心处理的一个问题。那在过去的5到7年当中，我们发觉这种。
So coming back to the exhibition, so one of the thing that we have been making every year for the last 12 years, every almost like 1.5 years, is a book that we call Sarai Readers, and you can go to Sarai website and you can download the books. So we have made 8 volumes of that book. So what we used to do is that we make a topic, we used to invite people from all over the world to write in it. And we used to invite people specially to write for it, and we used to make these books. The idea of this book was to take one idea and to elaborate it from all kinds of perspective, from artistic perspective, from philosophical reflection, from people at the, from everyday conversations. So we thought that it may be an interesting idea to call an exhibition Sarai Reader 09. In a sense that it is, and everybody associated a making of something and an intellectual discourse as well as multiple ways in which people can participate in it.
那在过去十二年当中，我们做的一件很核心的事情，而且持续在做的，就是我们出版了8本书。这8本书，你在我们的那个 Sarai Reader， 就是我们叫它叫 Sarai 读本。这是其中的一期的封面啦。你在我们这个 Sarai 的网站上是可以免费下载的。这8本书当中，我们每一次都是用一个议题去发出一种邀请，然后在这个邀请之下呢，所有的人都可以来征询一种回应。可以你是从街上来的，可以是从你所属处的艺术的一个方面来回应，或者是怎么样。总之就构建起一种那个知识性的话语，然后集结成册。
So the exhibition is not, the exhibition doesn't have a theme.Like every exhibition has, it will be called Sarai Reader 09. So what you do is you produce a structure that invites an image that you can be part of the exhibition and whatever way in which you think you can contribute to it. And it is open, it is kind of, it's built on an open structure that it opens to everyone who wants to enter it through a proposal, through a discussion.So that was the idea that when we started Sarai, we started in 2000, the idea was to create a space like this, actually Sarai was a space like this, a little bigger, where people could meet like this, but on a daily basis, on an everyday level, and meet and produce a series of interruptions in our contemporary intellectual and artistic life.
那我们这个展览，我们就叫它十二读本第9册，因为我们之前出了8册，那我们就把这个展览作为9，然后也是这样子发出一个邀请。我们其实并没有一个主题，反而这次，那么我们就提供一个很敞开的一个界面。其实这个方式就像我们在过去12年当中做十二这个项目的方式一样，我们也有一个类似于比这个大一点的一个空间，它其实在一个地下室，我还去过。在那里呢，大家的日常的互动是基于一种每一天，基本上是在每一天，就比我们现在这种更要日常化的一种关于知识的一种干预和介入和抒发，并且把话题打开。所以我们把这一次的这个展览就作为这样一个读本来实践的。
So as artistic practice goes, we have been together for 20 years now. This is our 20th year actually, so it's a good thing to be here. One of the things that we have always searched is how do you build a network of conversations and provocations around you? How do you build this kind of public always over a period of time around you so that what you are doing, you can always be challenged, provoked, and you on your own are challenging and provoking a series of reflection on the world.
那我们今年在一起正好是20年，所以我觉得这也是个挺有意义的时刻，我们来这里讲我们自己的工作。其实我们一直在考虑的就是你如何围绕着你建立起一种网络，一种可以不断的互相激发刺激，互相那个挑衅的一个网络，甚至于你自己也是做一个挑战方、挑衅方和那个刺激方，然后来就是来建立起这样的一个公众。
So making works, creating spaces, making books with others, this and making spaces in the city. These were all part of what we thought was our way of looking at our own artistic practice. Artistic practice was not just making a work, but actually how you make spaces, make discursive platforms, how you create events, to how you create a simple program that can last for 5 years with hundreds of people. So this we thought was always a part of our artistic practice.
所以当我们来说所谓的艺术实践这个事情的时候，我们不是只是说你做了一个作品这么简单，而是更多的是你如何创造出一种空间，在这个空间里面各种话语，为某一些为给各种话语提供一个疏通和流通的一个平台，而且它也是不只是说你个人的事情，它可能关系到的是一种公众的形成和几百个人的一种出现，
嗯，
拍卖一
样，So,
太阳那个手在动的。
I'll tell the story behind this, and then we'll talk about why we're showing it first. This handprint was taken in 1858 in eastern India by an English surveyor, kind of a person who's in government. And the handprint... Oh, sorry. I have to constantly oversee this machine.
都看到了那只蓝色的那个手印，其实是我就先跟大家介绍一下这个手印的故事。它是1858年的时候在印度的东印度地区一个英国人收集的，可能是做某种调研的时候吧，一个手印。
Yeah, so the handprint is taken off of a Bengali peasant. His name was Raj Konai, and this is the first time that the mark of a person was connected to the sale of land. So the first time that a relationship between body and a purchase of land was done, and in a sense, this is the kind of great-great-great-grandfather of all fingerprinting technologies that we have. The relationship between you, the mark of your hand, and how that body is available to the state and in public space in that form.
那这个手印呢，来自于一个孟加拉农民。当时呢，它是关于这个土地的一个销售的一个，当时作为一个证据的一个手印。那可以说，这是我们之后很多很多的以手印为一个身体的一部分，同时也作为一种证据或者一种文书的一个形式的祖先。
So when we found this handprint was in an archive in London, and in the beginning it was just this black mark on a white page.And it was a trace of the past, and we looked at it as a trace of the past, and we encountered it as just a kind of fragment of history.
那我们其实在伦敦的档案馆里面发现了这样一个东西，它当然是原始的，是它是白底黑印的一个东西，然后我们把它看作是一个历史的一个遗留，一个痕迹吧。然后我们可以从这个来回忆起某一些过去的一些东西。
But the thing is, like what Jeevesh was talking about, the interesting thing for us in our practice is how do you look at something and then ask yourself and ask that thing together how it can be activated to ask something else of the time past, but of course, because it is of the time past, but crucially of the time present and the time future.
那这个我之所以举这个例子，是因为它典型的就是给了是一个我们工作的一种方式的一个案例，就是你如何在面对着这样一个显然是关于过去的一个印记的时候，你建立起你问起一些问题，使得你不仅是关于过去的问题可以被构成起来，同时你可以对当下也有所关怀，同时对未来有所指示。这就是我觉得我们的那个作为艺术家的这个工作的一个基本上的一个结果。
So we kept looking at this mark, and then we decided that the mark should not only remain a mark of the past, it should... for example, the name of this piece is the untold intimacy of digits, which is also the acronym is UID, and UID is the database, the name of the database. What does it stand for?
Unique Identification
Database that the Indian government has started of every citizen in India, which means that all of us have to go through this process of signing your fingerprint and getting, well, we might have pictures finally, and getting, so you become part of this globe of this national database in which everyone is enumerated. But for us, it was not, so the mark signifies that relationship between the past and the present, but what became really interesting for us was that we decided to make the hand live again and not just stand in for that one enumeration, but count to infinity. So in that sense, the hand is no longer sort of making the relationship between itself and government or us and government. It is actually counting to infinity. That it, is it possible, in a sense, to have a single mark that every individual can be sort of limited to the idea of a single mark, or is everyone full of so much more that you cannot be limited to a, you know, it's a very simple thing that you cannot, the relationship between quantity and quality is not a straightforward one. UID, untold intimacy of digits.
Untold intimacy
of digits, because digits are both numbers and fingers.
Oh, okay.他们把这个称之为给了个名字叫 UID， 未被诉说的数码的亲密。那个数码，就 digit 这个词，他说意思有两个，一个是数字化，第二个是就是那个手指啊，也是叫什么，就是啊指印什么的，也叫这个名字。那其实这个事情，他们在今天说这个掌印这个事情或者指纹之类的啊，是跟现在在当前印度政府大力推广的那个。类似于我们的身份证制度，但是它可能不只是一般的身份证，每个人都有一个类似于指纹一样的唯一的那样的一种辨识的指认的那个体系啊。现在印度政府在全民推广的这个系统是有关系的，也就是说他们想把这个手指，这个从档案馆里面19世纪末期的这样一个手指把它激活，让它能够对于当下有一个直接的一个反应。或者说他们提出了一个问题是这样子的，就是是不是每一个人可以被量化为一个数字化为一种所谓的唯一性，这是不是会穷尽一个人的所谓的可能，而这件事情本身它的那个可操作性和它能实现的那个可能性是多大。那么他想把这个手指从历史一直指向一种未来的那个无限性当中去。
Okay, so I mean, let's take off from what both Jibesh and Monica have spoken. Jibesh spoke a little bit about creating a space. Monica spoke a little bit about creating a space within a body of thought. And I think all our work in Rux Media Collective has followed these two kind of processes. One is to create a constellation of energies, of processes, of ways of doing things, of talking to people, of creating things together, having a conversation. Another is a way of combining our curiosities, our investigations, with a language that is poetic, that is also expressive, that also talks in terms and pictures rather than only in terms of facts and figures. So, to go back to the idea of what does Rux mean? Rux is a name which is based on the idea of the whirling dervish. You know, in certain meditation practices in the Islamic world, you have these people who keep whirling, they keep turning, and they enter a state of ecstasy or a trance through this whirling practice. And we translated that to mean a form of contemplation of the world that is dynamic, that is mobile, because the world is constantly turning and we are constantly turning with it. So our conversation between the three of us takes the form of that turning practice, which then produces the thought, the images, the stories, the speculations that we use as engines to drive our practice.
我想刚才沿着 Jibesh 和 Monica 说的呢，我再来进一步的深化。总结起来来讲 ，Jibesh 讲的是我们的工作作为一种空间的开创。那 Monica 说的，我们是在这空间里面还做出一个实现了一些什么具体的东西。那就前面一个作为空间的开创来讲呢，就是也可以回到我们 Rex 这个词的一个意思。Rex 它在那个伊斯兰传统里面有一种的那个不是迷魂。但是也是有一点沉思性的一种精神运动，它其实是就不断的打转的那种舞蹈，就是比较痴迷的一种舞蹈状态。在这个舞蹈状态当中，大家同时也在做一定，其实在做一种沉思的，做冥想的。其实这个不断的旋转的这个比喻呢，我们就拿在我们身上，就是我们这三个人，我们把自己这三个人之间的思维上的那个互相激活和精神的那个互动，思想的沟通，就看出是好像接力棒一样的，因为我们是想不断的把一些概念、一些词汇进行旋转，旋转了以后，可能它的这个范畴、它的定义、它的很多知识上就会有所改变。那作为一个空间的开创，其实就是说，在我们这三个人的这个互相的这个激活的过程当中，我们同时也把更多的人辐射和围拢进来，就是好像是创造出了一个星云一样，然后大家都可以在这样的一个知识的一种可能性里面去拓展。所以这个是我说的，就是就是这个空间性的开创，这是我们这一块的工作。
So you have to imagine a situation where we, in a sense, act like, those radars on mountaintops that are constantly scanning the universe for signs of intelligent life. They are arrayed, they are many, and they are always turning in 360 degrees, and they are receiving all kinds of information. They are receiving the light of dying stars, electronic noise, the signals of storms in the solar system, and through all this mush, they don't necessarily know what makes sense. And perhaps they're imagining sense. And I think that the work that we do through our turning is trying to imagine a sense of the world. Imagine a sense of time, imagine a sense of place, imagine a sense of being between times and places and between stories.
我们都知道有一种就是人类的努力，就是想在太空里面寻求其他的生命迹象嘛，那就是那种雷达之类的，好像整天在做360度的那种对宇宙空间的一种扫描，然后就看这个里面是不是他们可能收集到的是各种各样的信息，比如说这个有的星球陨落啊，什么什么燃烧啊，有些什么垃圾啊什么的。但是他们搜集任何信息，其实目标是什么呢？就是找出可能其他的那个有思想的生命的一个存在。那其实他们与其说是在找这个有思想的生命的存在，不如说他们在想象一种可能性的知觉，一种感知。那对我们来讲，我们也觉得我们想要做的就是去想象一种知觉，去想象一种意识会是怎么样子。
So this is not just a passive activity of receiving and transmitting signals, but it also involves a certain amount of a lot of cooking.Of the signals and a making of the signals. And in a sense, what we are doing is cooking and making those signals to understand for ourselves what we are thinking between the three of us. At some point of time, we hope to show you an image of a carpet that we are now currently designing, which is actually takes the form of all the signals between our three laptops in our studio. And that creates a kind of web, a matrix of messages, of conversations, and that itself becomes a kind of work that we stand on, which is why we make it as a carpet. But all of these processes require, first of all, a certain sense of time. So this question of the 20 years of a practice are important, because there are things that are coming to us from the memory of our practice, just as light from a very distant star comes maybe millions of years later. There may be an image that we have seen either together or separately 10 years ago or 11 years ago that will suddenly find its way into thinking that we are doing now. Similarly, the time that we are spending in Shanghai, in your city with you, may translate itself into works that will actually animate themselves 20 years from now. And I think that's this sense of time and of a being inside different kinds of time that we'd like to, that we enjoy with in our work.
<笑>他讲了三段，我在想第一段是什么。所以我们不是说简单的像一个发射接收器一样，就发信号、接信号、处理信号，而是我们是在对这个信号本身做一种处理，使得这个信号。 对我们自己三个人内部所讨论的那些诸多的议题产生效果，产生发就是给一些新的启发。所以我们做的很多的事情，可能是在做这样一个工作。那我可以给大家举一个例子，就是我们在过去的20年来说，我为什么说时间这个概念非常重要？20年这个时间段非常重要，就是因为曾经就是当时谈过的一些问题，或者说我们曾经现在想起来记忆当中曾经谈过的一些问题，就好像是从宇宙的深处发射回来的一些延迟了很久的一些信号一样。那包括我们这次在上海，包括面对你们今天这样子一个公众的时候，我们所受到的一些点滴的一些思想的一些启示，可能也会在很多年以后成为某一种形态的符号出现。 影响到我们的创作，我们有一个作品，就是一个织毯，好像是一个挂毯或者什么。那个作品就是我们把我们三个人各自的那个电脑的一些信号进行了一种整理之后，你会就是最后出现的一个图像，就是反映了我们三个人在一定的时间里面，其实我们电脑所表现出来的我们的一些思维上的一些活动和交流。
So if you think about time itself and how we measure time, you realize how many different kinds of processes involved. The second is something that is almost close to the heartbeat, to the circulation of blood. The day is close to the rhythm of the circulation of the earth, the rotation of the earth. The month is close to the circulation of the moon, because the 30-day period closely follows the lunar cycle. The year is close to the circulation of the earth around the sun. So even the way we divide time in our daily life actually takes into account everything from what happens inside our hearts to what happens inside the solar system. Similarly, we think of time not only in terms of past, present, and future, but also in terms of waking time and sleeping time, dreaming time and thinking time. So all our activities, all our life's processes are divided into different kinds of ways of thinking about time. So we'd like to show you an image of a work that we have done some time ago.
Escape. 个体和宇宙的一些关系，比如说这个秒是跟我们的心脏心跳是有关系的，然后天呢是跟地球的自转有关啦，然后月呢就是跟地球围着月亮转的这周期有关，年当然是跟这个围绕着太阳转的周期有关，所以我们其实在讲这个时间的时候，更多的我们还是关于如何想象时间等等这些可能性的方面，所以你可以看到我们的很多作品其实它都跟这个时间。
So this is a work called Escapement, and it exists in different kinds of iterations and versions. In this particular iteration, it takes the form of 27 clocks. 24 clocks for the 24 hours of the day, and 3 clocks of extra time, like you get extra time in a football match. The 24 clocks of the 24 hours of the day are arrayed across different longitudes. So you can have a clock for Shanghai, a clock for New Delhi, a clock for New York, all arrayed across different cities. And the 3 cities of extra time are arrayed across 3 imagined cities, 3 cities of the consciousness in a way. Shangri-La, Babel, and Macondo. Macondo, since you were all interested in Latin American literature, as is evident from 2666, is a story from Gabriel Garcia Marquez's 100 Years of Solitude. Now, these 3 times, these 3 cities run
counter time. They run mirror time. So this work itself produces a certain map of the world and a map of the imagination. And if you look at the clock face, you will see that the hours, instead of being numbers, are emotions or states of being. They can be anxiety, they can be remorse, they can be they can be epiphany, and they're always in relation because a clock is made up of hour hands and minute hands. So it's always epiphany past anxiety, or remorse past nostalgia, or indifference past ecstasy. And of course, when you have them arrayed in this kind of map of the world, then when it's epiphany past nostalgia in Shanghai, it could be remorse past fatigue in New York. So in a sense, we are living in the world between states of emotion, and then between places which also have their different coordinates of emotional being. So it's a diagram, if you like, and a poetic machine of thinking about a place in place and time.
我们这一组的钟我们做了24个呢是对应24个小时一天，那每一个其实它地理上也对应了某一个城市，比如上海一个钟啊，东京什么纽约一个钟这样子，但是还有另外三个钟呢，我们是对应所谓的多余的时间，剩余的时间，不就说加时，类似于足球赛也有加时赛，所以我们也多出了三个小时的时间。那三个小时是给三个小巷当中的城市，一个是那个香格里拉，一个是芭比，另外一个是那个，我不知道那个叫什么，就是哦，好吧，就是什么《百年孤独》里面那个城市是吗？然后大家看到这个钟面上面，其实它每一个时间点对应的是某一种心理状况，所以它有时针也有分针，所以它就是它对应的就是说你现在说的就不是几分过几秒了，而是比如说一种恐惧在罪恶时刻，但过了那个恐惧那个点的那种时刻。啊，或者是你在一个比如说一个无所谓的一个或者漠然的一个态度当中，但是过了一个震惊的一个时刻，就是类似于这样子。那可能每一个时间在不同的城市当中，其实它也有一个时差嘛，所以也是对应的是不同的一个状态。这就是我们这个作品就是它大致的一个样子。我们也是想通过这个来呈现出另外的一种时间。
So it's interesting to see this constellation of objects, words, processes, because each one is a mechanical process, a clock itself, as a kind of a stage set, where the viewer, where any person of the public, becomes almost like an actor. In a theatre constructed by us, but which is like an invitation to the viewer. Now it's interesting to think of this, for instance, in the way in which, in the 16th century, there was an Italian Jesuit who lived in China called Matteo Ricci, and he constructed these elaborate systems called theaters of memory, based on principles of Chinese rhetorical science, of how you would actually take a room like this and make each object in the room a sign or a placeholder for a thought. And then by creating that room in your mind, the architecture of that room in your mind, you could write an essay, make a poem, construct an entire novel, construct an argument. So the objects, their distribution, the way in which they were placed became, in some senses, pointers to a work of art that actually happened inside your mind.
那个十六世纪有一个意大利人叫什么？他说的是谁 ？Can you repeat the name of the
Matteo Ricci？
马歇尔。
Matteo
Ricci。
利马窦吧。
Matteo Ricci。
就他在中国，他来中国一段时间，然后他创造了一个我没听说过，不好意思，翻译的不对，你们来说吧。记忆宫殿啊。应该让你们来翻译算了，你要不你来描述一下吧。他说这个是一个虚拟的一个建筑空间是吧，然后他假设你在这不同的其实头脑中的虚拟的建筑空间里面，你会产生做不同的作品，有的是做创作，有的是写作，是不是这个意思？
就是他最早是利玛窦为了传教到中国来，然后他创造了一个记忆宫殿这样子的一个系统，其实是一个用来记忆的系统，然后就是通过这个系统来跟当地的一些就是怎么说达官贵人达到一个比较好的关系， 就是帮他们的小孩考这种进士之类的。然后就是你在这个宫殿里面，你把你的一个知识，一块知识放在这个宫殿的某个地方，然后等你真的要写文章或者做什么东西的时候，你就可以想象你的宫殿，然后把它从那里面拿出来。
有补充吗？关于这件事儿？你那种 he explained what is this time is about.
So then, the work that we do is in a sense.Creating these scenarios where between us and the visitor there occurs at each moment a certain new constellation of thought of which some of the things we know and some of the things we don't know because they arise between us, the artwork, the exhibition, the space and the public. So each time, with each new involvement, we are creating the conditionsfor thinking that will surprise us as well as those who come to it. And that's really the intention of the artistic practice. It's not to populate the world only with objects that can be concentrated energies of value and desire. That's got its own place, of course. But also to populate the world with thoughts anddispositions and feelings that can have a viral effect. So now when you see a clock, all of you will always think about the time that each hour has a feeling. It's not something that you'll ever be able to forget. And this is the intention. Now, for instance, having made this, we can also not forget it. We are now in a process, let's say a project in Birmingham where between us and Maiden, who are also a group like us based here in Shanghai, we have populated the city of Birmingham with over 60 billboards. And there's a very interesting play that's happening between the interventions that Maiden have made and the interventions that we have made, none of which were known to us before. They are the product of the accident or the curatorial design that brings them together. So ours are stations of a clock similar to this, but different. Maiden has these very terse but beautiful poetic statements and slogans. And between them, they create a third set of meaning, which then becomes like a set of theatre instructions for the citizens of Birmingham.
所以这种剧场性的一种效果，其实我们是把我们的创作当成是一种邀请，就是大家是欢迎来到我们提供的这个设定里面来进行一个互动。比如说你看到这个钟以后，你无法不去想你自己的一个心理的状态或者怎么样。那同样的，再举个例子，就是我们最近被伯明翰市邀请去做他们的广告，户外广告牌，巨大的那种billboard 那种东西，然后我们是有30块，然后每顶就是徐震他的那个上海那个艺术家他们那个团队也做了30块，还有30块是英国本地的艺术家自己画的。那其实这是一个很偶然的，我们会和一个上海的一个艺术家组合一起在伯明翰做一个户外的公共艺术嘛。但是呢，就是这种策略上，就是在策展时候的一种偶然性，其实激发出来的这种剧场的效果，反而就是说可能会在很大程度上吸引到更多的人来以他们特别就是最终是以一个我们无法控制的更偶然的方式来同这个公共艺术进行互动。
Can you show an opposite mind?
If there are any questions we can ask
between us, 大家提些问题吧。
让文
运拿一些水来吧。就是如果觉得我翻的有问题或者他们说的有问题，就是不太能理解的话，可以随时沟通。
Maybe you can just see them. You turn out the
light.
This is a 7th channel video, which shows like this, 7 monitors.
There are 7 in a row. We're showing them to you in a kind of slightly awkward way. But 7 screens running in a loop. And as you watch it, but you physically walk across from one screen to the other, but also you realize there's a landscape in which a ship is also going on a journey, and you're going along with that ship on a journey. And we'll talk about it a bit more, but just to give you some sense of what's going on.
这个视频的录像其实是同时在你面前放，现在就一个个放给大家看一下。但是你对着这个作品的时候呢，你的那个感觉好像你看到有一个船是在开动，而且你是在跟着这个船一起旅行。
这7个录像是同时放的，
同时的。所以现在就是因为只有一个屏幕，所以就一个个给大家看一下，给大家一些意思。每一个这个视频都是循环播放的。
就拍的视频一定是有窗口的。
等会儿会解释的。
So these seven videos are a treatment of footage that we found in a town called Newcastle, which is in northern England, which is a very famous industrial town, and was very closely linked to the history of shipbuilding. The ships from built in Newcastle would have plied in Shanghai, as they did in Calcutta, as they did in Hong Kong, as they did in the great ports of the industrial world in the 19th and early 20th centuries. These, what you saw passing, were two shipbuilding cranes. To build ships, you need massive cranes. And these cranes were no longer in operation because the shipyard of Newcastle was now closed. And the industry of shipbuilding had died in Newcastle. But it was beginning to emerge in a town in western India on the western coastline. And these ships, after having these cranes, after having finished work for 100 years, were being sailed from Newcastle to the town in western India. There have been similar movements from Newcastle to Shanghai, to Korea, to Japan, to other parts of the world where new shipbuilding industries have emerged. And this was the last one. So it was in a footage shot by an engineer who was an amateur enthusiast, a video enthusiast who shoots a lot of material. And he, like many other people in Newcastle, had a certain kind of emotional attachment to these cranes because they were part of the landscape that they had grown up with. It's like suddenly, it's like you have grown up with the landscape of the Bund. If suddenly a building were to disappear from the Bund, let's say the Peace Hotel or one of the big buildings of the Bund, you would miss it more than when you knew it when it was there. And it's very interesting to think of the history of our world and of our time, of capitalism as something that produces and then takes things down in this kind of continuous cycle, because it has no, it doesn't have an interest in what we feel for and even the things that we may be oppressed by, but we begin to have a feeling for their history. So, in a sense, capital moves from Newcastle to Western India. The cranes move from Newcastle to Western India. But a landscape, it one end becomes empty and another end begins to be something again. And there are complicated feelings associated with these processes. Just as each hour, each time has its state of feeling and being, similarly, the moment, the hour of leave-taking, of saying goodbye to the cranes, has its own feelings. This was part of a larger work that we had titled Things That Happen When Falling in Love. Sometimes you realize what your feeling for a person that you loved was at precisely the moment when they start to disappear or leave. That's when you realize what they meant for you. And in many ways, we begin to think about history and about the future and about our time in terms of these complicated networks of emotions and dispositions. So this work moved, in a sense, from the past to the present, from the footage taken by an amateur to an enchantment of the footage or the transformation of that footage, which, you see, the footage, after all, was just the ships passing. But then all the things that happened to it, the strange effects, the dreamlike world that is produced by the images, is what we brought to the image. So in a sense, again, we created something between what was found and what we processed, like the signals from outer space that we talked about.
介绍一下刚刚大家看到那七屏录像，其实它是他们在 Newcastle 英国北部的一个港口城市发现的一段素材。那这段素材呢，是由一位工程师拍摄，当地的一个业余时间喜欢拍拍东西的一个这样一个工程师拍的。那 Newcastle 是英国历史上一直很重要，尤其是在19世纪末20世纪初一个造船业的重镇，所以当时在 Newcastle 生产的很多的制造的很多的船舶呢，其实当时是出口到世界各地去用于国际运输的。但是呢，现在由于整个这个全球资本主义的这个新的一个生态关系呢，其实很多这样的一些工业就移植到了其他的国家。大家刚才看到的呢，就是这位工程师他用自己的镜头，以一种以一个业余的爱好者的方式拍摄的一段录像。这当中看到的，大家看到是一个巨大的船屋，就是说你在造船的时候，你其实是有一个巨大的船屋在下面支撑的，就像我们以前在江南的造船厂，如果看到的话也是这个样子，但现在江南造船厂都不在了。然后这个船屋当时是最后一个要运往其他地方去用于造船的，也就是说当这个船屋离开 Newcastle 以后呢，这个地方就不再有造船业了，那以后所有的在那边造的船都到，那这个船屋就是要去往印度西岸一个现在一个新兴的一个造船的一个基地去。那同样的，这个船屋也有可能到韩国，也有可能到中国任何一个新兴的可能制造出大船的一个地方。那其实这段素材呢是由这个工程师拍摄的，他们发现以后就把它做了一定的处理。那么作为就是这个生命是这样，它本身是一段素材，被他们发现以后似乎有了一种把它变成了更有魅力的一个方式，就是经过艺术家的一个创作。其实大家看到的那种包括倒影的，或者说它那个明明过去了以后它的痕迹还留在天空当中，这些特殊的效果都是他们加上去的，但它的基础仍然是这段素材，就是一种他们这个系列的作品的名字叫做当你坠入爱河时发生的事情。就是很多时候你发现你其实喜欢这样东西的时候是在它开始消失的时候。那可以想象的就是说在现在的这样一个生产关系里面，就是说资本主义它一方面使得很多东西被制造出来，同时它也让很多东西给消失。 在这样一个过程当中的这个目光，就这个工程师的一个目光投射在这个素材里面，其实就是一种可能他发觉他其实是眷恋某样东西，当他一直在的时候你没有意识到你跟他有怎样的关联，可是当他开始突然消失了以后你才意识到，但这种意识到的那种情绪可能就是一种，可能他觉得是一种很典型的现在可能普遍存在的一种情绪吧。
So you know yesterday we spent the large amount of our time going to the expo place, walking around and driving around the expo, and the kind of it's a kind of looks like a ghost space, because it has been something, 80 million people had come there, but now it looks very ghostly, you know, with, so that is the kind of, and we were thinking that it's like in the 2 years, 3 years time, you can almost have a short history of capitalism, in a sense that it produces enormous energy, fuel, at kind of incredible visions of what it can be, and then it loses interest, and it loses, and then it goes somewhere else. And when it goes somewhere else, you produce a landscape of little ghostly. So first it digs, clears, erases, produces. Then it, so in that short kind of, like we were thinking what we should do in Shanghai, was that short history of capitalism is always written in the heart of Shanghai, in the 5 years. So, you know, like a lot of the Newcastle, a lot of the landscapes that we go, Pittsburgh, Liverpool, a lot of our ideas and developed around these ghost presences, you know, like where things have just gone. And huge amount, like Pittsburgh, we were staying in Pittsburgh for a long time, and Pittsburgh had produced the highest number of steel, like you have these figures, highest number of steel. Second World War was won on the basis of Pittsburgh steel. You know? Like 60% of the world steel was produced in Pittsburgh. And we walked around, there was nothing, you know, like some old people go to an archive with their families to show them that they once worked here, you know, it's a kind of a complete barren landscape. And houses have polythene sheets outside it because people don't even have resources to structure the house. So the kind of, it loses interest, and then you're left with a ghost town and you manage a ghost town. And that also site of potential, that's a... So this is one side of the story, the Newcastle, the Pittsburgh, and the Now Expo. We can have a Now Expo and then Expo. So we can have a... But there is, because we, in India and China, we are pumped up by the world as 8.5, 9.5 economies, 14% percentage economies. So one of the work that we have been doing for sometimes a laboratory work, which we do, which is called the reverse engineering, the euphoria machine. I don't know how you translate it. It's like euphoria is this kind of when you take a little intoxicant and you feel like very dizzy in the world.
Four cups of espresso in the morning.
Like you feel like woo, like that. So it's a work that we do. It's a kind of a laboratory research and artistic research. It's not a research where we are trying to understand what is that makes us so euphoric. You know, like this kind of. Moments, and when we can't see other histories of capital, you know? So we see one history of capital, we get euphoric, and we forget or kind of close our ranks to the other, as if it won't happen to us. So one of the thing that we do, and I don't know whether we have some images or not, is basically trying to say this is a euphoria machine, you know, which generates massive euphoria, and we're trying to take out the parts and the small parts and try to see what are these parts. And the more you take out the parts, we realize that you are more in it. You know? That the more parts you take out, the more you realize that each part you are somewhere there. So we call the fuel that runs the euphoria machine, we the fuel. It's not the fuel itself. It's continuously saying we the fuel. You know, so we produce a we to become a fuel that runs the euphoria machine. So it's a series of drawings that we do. It's a series of drawings on drawings and series of models that we make. The idea is that when you discover yourself as part of the euphoria, as you know, you are the fuel, you know, you're also fueling it, and you also know the ghost histories, you know, the ghosts that are all around us, you know, the histories where the Now Expo histories, which is all around us. So we see this two side of capital. You know, once we see erasure, suddenly like this part, you know, suddenly wipe away, and a new tower will come. And also the other histories of capital. So we have this kind of, what do you call a new question or a new aphoria of time, that when you are part of this fuel, and you have knows other histories, and you know this, they don't play together so well. One has to be forgotten and repressed for the other to play. How do you think of time? How do you think of life? The question of life, life not as system, but life as against system, or life and system in collision. You know? So this is one of the...
就是你能够感觉到，就是这个是一个短命的一个资本主义的一个操作嘛，就是说一下子就是无数的热情、精力和兴奋被那件事情刺激，然后后来就他用了那个词，就是 lose the interest， 就是说一方面呢也没有利益了，一方面也没有兴趣了。那么现在大家再去看那个世博会的这个现场，就是那个极度亢奋之后的那个残余，基本上是这个样子。我们去这段时间去看了，就是在过去几年当中看了几个城市，包括 Newcastle， 像利物浦，还有像匹兹堡，就是这些都曾经是像匹兹堡来讲，在二战基本上是因为匹兹堡而打下来的，它当时是全球钢产量60%，在匹兹堡它是一个钢铁业的重镇，在全球范围内都是这样，类似于我们现在会觉得在中国某样东西有多少是中国人生产的一样。可是你现在再去看的话，你会发觉那边城市就是有一种像幽灵一般，就是一个鬼魂式的城市，就像你去那个世博会现场你感觉到的那种鬼魂的那种感觉。就是老人家领着小孩去看，说啊，这里我以前干嘛干嘛，我说所有的建筑都因为根本就没有任何资源再去维护而面临一种倒塌的这样一种景象。所以这些资本主义的故事呢，是我们中国和印度这两个国家现在8%-9%的这种感觉之下，所刻意看不见的一种资本主义的另一个故事。那我们想做的呢是，如果说像我们现在处于这种状况下的这个民族啊，它在一种，我不知道那个词怎么翻，euphoria是什么东西，是不是类似于兴奋剂一样的东西，我不知道。但是如果我们把它看这个燃烧的这种亢奋的下面是什么的话，如果我们把想象成我们自己就是那个燃烧着亢奋的那个燃料的话，那么我们就可以面对那个资本主义故事的那个阴暗的那个版本。但是你会发觉这个阴暗版本和你的这个亢奋感是不调和的嘛，所以就是说你在亢奋的时候你不得不去回避它的那些已然发生过的那些比较凄凉的一个结果的那些故事。但是我们是希望把这个结构给这个巨大的这个亢奋的这个机器，这个装置系统里面一种生命的体验给融合进去，就是说如果你是这个燃料的话，你就有一个生命的感觉在这个里面，那你再来回过头去看这个亢奋感，可能可以消解掉整个这个系统所给你带来的那种置换的那个作用。
So this is not a historical work. This is not about history. This is a work which is trying to understand effects by which we are glued to economies and someone's idea of life. So the productive idea, production, a certain form of production as a form of life. So this is kind of a laboratory. There is a lot of things in it, and these are all our own research over a period of time. On plans, images, balance sheets, all kinds of things. So this kind of, I was just trying to, this kind of the machine that we are interested in is a machine that when you break it down, it's very difficult to see the machine, you know, slowly. And you find yourself and your whole impulses somewhere moving it. This is your drawings.
这个不是一个历史性的作品，不像前面那个，而是我们搜集了花很多时间，搜集了一些图像也好，或者日常的一些东西，包括比如说一些表格啊、财务表什么的，来探究就是我们日常是如何被粘连在一起，同时跟这个体系发生关系的，就这个粘合剂到底是什么。 就是我们当我们把这个机器给拆下来的时候，其实你就看不到整个这个机器的面貌了。同时，你个人的那个冲动啊，那些东西反而就裸露出来，你生命性的东西就裸露出来。
So, and you know, if you go to a website, it's a very long work, but I just hinted it. There is a work called the Capital of Accumulation. I don't know whether you know about her or not, but there is a important book that was written by an early 20th century Marxist called Rosa Luxemburg. The book was called Accumulation of Capital, which was a very crucial book for us. Because it's a book that takes you out of the nationalist construction of way of understanding capital and to a different way of understanding capital. So it's there in our website. It's a whole kind of, we kind of look at her work, we try to rewrite it. We rewrite the whole book in the contemporary time using cities as the block, building block. So you can, it's downloadable. The viewing copy is in the website. It's called Capital. You can download the work. You can see it. It's a 50-minute two-screen work. Yeah. So the idea is that what we are interested in is to how to rewrite the script by which we are told or we are assembled in the world. So it's a kind of, the whole attempt is to rewrite the machines, rewrite the things, rewrite the narrative, the story, the voiceover that runs over our head. How do you rewrite those in a way that allows a different potential or a different way of looking at time, looking at potentiality, looking at gathering of people emerges. So we cook up fictional accounts and stories to tell. So a lot of this is fiction. You know? They're not facts, they are fictions. But we produce fictions because I think fictions, like Foucault once very nicely said, they take you to truth faster than facts. So it's a question of what are the ways in which we can enact and thinking and being in the world and the emotional and the affective registers by which we be in the world is not just, we are not there only by our concepts. How they overlap and how, that's Pittsburgh for you. That image is Pittsburgh. The steel, this is the big steel thing when the molten steel is taken. When the molten steel is retained for the, and it is there in all steel plant. Anyway, China now produces 730 million tons of steel, so you would be knowing, you would have many of this. The world's biggest producer of steel ever in human history is China now, 730 million tons. It's like, so the idea is that those objects, things that we located, have a way of telling us not about the past in Pittsburgh, but about the way we look at things today. How do we look at the polish of the things today? And what are the other image that lies behind it? What are the other story, or what are the latent images behind the polished surface?
其实大家在这里看到了很多图像，也不见得是真的，真的都是虚构的。但是福柯说的挺好的，就是有的时候虚构通达那个真实的那个虚构比事实更快的接近。真实一个作品是在网上可以看得到的，叫《累积的资本》，这个是受到罗莎卢森堡的那个《资本的累积》那本书的影响。就这本书是对我们来讲非常重要的一本书，因为它是第一次跨越这个国家的这个边界，让你来认识资本主义。所以呢，我们用了一个新的作品的方式，来重新书写这本书的内容，就是。我们是用了把城市作为一个研究的对象，当然也是一个虚构的故事，来重新的来在今天的这个范畴里面重新来思考，就是罗莎卢森堡那个时候提出的这些问题。
刚刚你们说到那个第九个读本是一个展览，就是第九个读本本身，然后是也是大家请不同领域就是过来做讨论，现在这个空间更大一点。那他这个展览是把这个事情后续做一个整理出来的，还是说他这个展讨论的地方本身就是一个展厅？我想知道这个怎么呈现第九个。
So for Sarai Nine, as an exhibition, so is it what's the relations between this book that is coming and this exhibition? Does it happen within the exhibition space or what the exhibition represents?
So as I was saying, it was a very difficult question. How do you what is an exhibition in that sense? So So the Sarai 9 allows us to start with the empty space. So I think the day of the opening of the exhibition will be empty. So you will be asked.
No obvious art in it. You know what I mean? Like you create a space that has got light and form in it. You affect the building deeply in different sort of ways, which are not very obvious, and some which are clearer. But it's not like the opening is not like everything is ready and now you can go and take this is nice, this is not nice, and then you walk out of it. It's not about that. The whole idea is to create a scenario which how things get filled up, whether the idea of when you get filled up with emotion or something gets filled up with something which the filling up transforms space. That's the fundamental idea of, you take an empty space and you transform it, and then the art is not like it's not just as a kind of ready-made that you can
transport
and so on. So the idea that we are proposing for the exhibition is that over time, first you will see that people will be invited to make proposals which are site-specific, so you can first see proposals and things develop. But it's also over time, so it's over months, things will keep happening. So in a sense, the closing is the opening. In a way, what is normally an opening would be the kind of culmination of seven months or something like that.
All the works of all the artists are filled, that would be the closing day. So you would close the day it has, the other exhibitions would open.
But over 7 months you will see, every month there's an episode by which another, and then things accrete. If they keep getting added on. So it's also about how, it's not about one iteration and then you put another one on. It's about things getting added on, people having to think about where they can insert their work. Is it going to be in conversation with another work? Is it going to be some place they can find on its own? Those questions are also there, because it's not just a question of, curation is not just placing one thing next to another. Curation is also making people think about what it means to co-inhabit a space together. When you are also asking people to think about how they see their work placed inside a space in conversation with you, that's already one order. And the next one is in conversation with you as a curator, but also in conversation with the other work that already is there. But it's just making artists and people who come as audience also think about the question of what curation really is. I think what often happens in many situations where, especially in publics, where the idea of, at least in India, what you have is a gallery exhibitions where, either traditionally galleries would just be aimed, like you would rent the gallery space and hang your paintings and leave, and that was supposed to be your problem. Then you have the National Museum, which is completely opaque. You have no idea why something is being put up and it never changes. And then you have now different kinds of private galleries which are trying sort of like putting together shows, which are little shows of some kind. But each time the relationship is between the object and either the idea of object as commodity or object for appreciation or sort of awe. We don't really have much of a context for thinking about what curation really means. And I think for us it's an interesting question. We have curated a biennial before, the Manifesta Biennial in 2008, and we've also curated a couple of other things which have traveled. But for us it was interesting to sort of also think about curating within India, curating in a private foundation that actually knows its public is like X number of people who always come for the opening party and then no one ever comes again. This is the Devi Art Foundation's problem. It's very far, and they make a kind of formal exhibition and then everyone just doesn't go back because it's very far, and then you kind of know what it is and why go back. And then also in a context where, as we began by talking, it's a changing scene, right? The public, we ourselves now and the publics that we are now, we were not 10 years ago. Even us who constitute publics of looking at other people's work, we're not the same. We have different expectations. We want new kind of provocations even from the work that comes to us. So it's also responding to that, the idea of the changing city and the change, and most importantly, the changing minds in the changing city. So it's really, both for us and for Delhi, I think it's going to be a new experience. So and we'll see how it goes down.
It's a dynamic system.
Yes, that is the proposal that we have made, and that it is supposed to open on the 18th of August. But we will work with architects before, so they will be working with 3 or 4 architects before the show opens. So it's not like it's just going to be the empty rooms with nothing. We will work with architects, and we will work as a kind of artistic collective, making difference of how you walk. Like, for example, the soundscape of walking on metal stairs, like changing that, or how you break corners. So we'll be working on all of those things. So the building is the same, but it's not the same experience. And then you open that sort of changed landscape to future possibilities. We'll see.
但简单来说，就是这个展览开幕的时候是没有作品的，但不是说那展厅是空的，就是他们之前会跟3、4个建筑师一起先把这个展厅改造了，所以在展览开幕的时候，你看到的不是一个现成的一个东西都摆好的，然后看完了以后就再也不会去那个展览的那种状况，因为像他们合作的这个私人的艺术机构 Debian Foundation， 它在德里的南部地铁的最后一站，其实通常来讲。不在一个活动活跃的活动范围之内，他们面临的一个长期来的问题就是展览开幕的时候所有人都到齐了，然后之后就再也没有人来了。但是因为展览还放在那儿放很多个星期甚至几个月嘛，那他们就想重新来思考到底什么是策展，这是一个问题。还有就是到底一个展览它提供的是个什么东西，就是所以展览开幕的时候他那边会有一个建筑师改造好的空间，这是一个新的一个空间，新的一个风景，在这个风景之上，我们来看你有一些什么样的方案。然后最后这个策展的呢，就是把这个物品它的和这个观众的关系，以及物品就是作品之间的关系来进行重新的一个调整。就是这个运动的过程是最终是在展览闭幕的时候完成，所以呢，这个展览是在闭幕的时候才完全做好，可是在它开幕的时候，它是完全一种。一个充分的展开一种可能性的，这就是他们做这个的方式。
不明白，就是说创作的主体是参观者还是艺术家？其实，
So, who are the author of the works, the artists or the audience, 对吧
？Well, I think the authors of the exhibition are going to be everybody. The authors of the work we are going to invite over the months, different people, and also give an open call. So, you know, in the beginning, I think we're planning to invite 20 people to come and spend time with the kind of idea of modified space that we are going to give them. And then they will make the proposals, and then once the show opens, they will make the work, either in situ or bring it and install it, so it's always open. And after that, there will also be an open call. So that some, and then there'll be kind of a, not a jury, but, you know, it's not... Not everyone can, obviously, you know, it's not like anyone can do anything. There is a notion of how it speaks to the exhibition, what is the budget, all of those kind of normal logistics, but it's also an open call, so that there are people who can also say we would like to place something in it. And so the exhibition is, and then there's also an architectural building which is being made, which is going to be made, and so in that sense, the within that, other kinds of exhibitions will happen. So in that sense, I think the exhibition is co-authored by... It's a different kind of co-authoring in which the audience is involved, because it is their return, which is also important. You know, it's not just a, you know, it's not like once you've seen it and then you are a number. It's your return that's really important to the exhibition. So the audience is very important co-author.
This就是说有一个东西在那，然后就不断的有人去批注批注，然后最后其实是一个整个的包，它并不是一个公众的产物，而是其实是我们自身就是策展已经组织好的这么一个东西。
所以他讲的是这是一个共同创作的一个过程，就是说不是说艺术家是创作者，或者说纯粹是看观众怎么看才成这件事儿，不是这样子，而是他们其实这当中还是有很常规的一些问题要解决的，不管是你策展方案是不是合适啊，你作品的布置是不是妥当啊，然后你这个预算啊种种，还有这空间的处理，包括他们这个整个展览的过程当中还会再造一个楼，就是那个建筑还是一个新的设计，就是建筑师的作品嘛，所以这一些他们连在一起才形成他们这个展览的过程。
还有一个问题就是，那如果说这个合作的方式是继承的， 就是说就是我们已经设定好这样的一种合作方式了。那么作为艺术家的发起人呢，他选择的这个符号系统是否就是说在这个互相这个交换意见和这个就是这种合作的过程当中是一个有效的东西，这个是怎么考虑的？因为毕竟比如说我们建筑师画图的，然后艺术家也乱弄一些东西，然后可能哲学家他就完全对这个东西就不是很敏感，然后他就会像吴新华一样贴大字报啊，就干这种事情。那么这个符号系统的选择在这个当中是一个怎么样考量的？到底谁来决策这个东西，然后又怎么样起到一个效果？
So for example, the architects, the philosopher, the writers, and the artists will select different symbolic systems to work. So how you make the decision of what symbolic systems to work on and how?
I just want to interrupt this. Because we were writing this, we were just asked to write this essay on Delhi art scene by Fries, which will come out next month, I think, May issue. So we had this problem, how do you write about an art scene? Because we are little known in India, then you start valorizing it. You know, you start giving value to some things more than maybe it have, or sometimes you just produce. So that you start privileging a symbolic system over someone else. Then we were trying to understand what is Delhi like. And one of the interesting things we found out about Delhi, and Chenuin has been there and she knows it, Delhi's most interesting, vibrant places of intellectual and artistic practice is the so-called urban villages of Delhi, which were old villages which has got surrounded by the city. They sold their land and the city compressed it. And while thinking about it, we realized that it is off the plan, in a sense it doesn't have a dominant symbolic system of city to work with, and it produces a strange, interesting combination of very what we call incremental anarchy, in a sense that it's very strange play between symbolic forms, languages, people, things. So it is. If you look at it, you will say chaos, or I don't understand it. But if you look at it in a micro way, there is a lot of kind of overlapping. Yeah. So I think having grown up and understood and the value of this kind of incremental anarchy, where the multiplicity and collisions of symbolic forms are more interesting than choosing a symbolic form, allowing a collision, allowing a play, allowing a co-inhabitation to play, is something that I think we value. In terms of our intellectual and artistic thought. But so that essay became an essay on Delhi as much as essay on the art scene of Delhi, because you cannot understand the art scene of Delhi if you don't understand this dynamism of Delhi. Because if you understand what actually is making art possible is the new hospitality of these spaces. So in that sense, this exhibition, which is a complete open gambit for us, will be a collision, and a collision of symbolic forms, collisions of various different impulses and attitude, and allowed to stay in collision, not allows to be creased out, not allows to be said that one is more superior to other, and it will be a kind of an intellectual, what you can call a riddle, to play with continuously. And we want that riddle to be played out, not between us three, of course, it's important, but to play it out in a larger way in which we ask the question about how do you start actually thinking of a space where somebody else has inhabited. You know, what do you do with presence already? You know, in urban planning, there is the idea that when you get a planner, he moves all the presences, cleans it off, and then draws the line. You know, and we know that doesn't really produce great urban life. And it produces very mechanical life. Korea is a great example of it. So maybe China, part of China could be going that way. Part of India definitely goes that way. So in that sense, we are interested in a philosophy of what do you do with already having a presence. When some presence are there, it may be ghost presence, no problem. It may be ghosts in the house, no problem. It's just what do you do with those presences. And those presences then make, how do you incorporate in your thinking? How do you incorporate them in your work? In your way you are going to yourself work in that space? So that relationship we are searching. It's also for us a quest. We do not know that we don't have the paradigm by which we stage it. We know our impulse. We know that the starting gambit we have made. We know that there will be a little search for that. There will be an anarchy, and we know that incrementally we can build something interesting.
关于你这个问题，我用另一种方式来回答。举个例子，我们在下一期的那个《Freeze》杂志当中，我们要发一篇文章，是我们受邀写一篇关于德里的艺术图景吧，就是说大概在德里艺术界是怎么样的，然后有些什么活动之类的。但是当我们开始做这样写这篇文章的时候，我们发觉我们不是在写德里的艺术界或者德里的艺术图景或者德里的文化生活这种东西，而是德里是谁，德里是怎么样，德里是什么。那我们发觉其实就我们在德里生活过的人会发现，德里最有意思的那些事情是发生在城中村这种结构里面的。因为德里也是不断的扩张，但是一些村子还在，所以也是这样包围，然后一个就是他们最有名的那些最活跃的地方都是这些村子，然后这些村子现在也是有一些艺术家进去啊或者怎么样。但是这些村子不是遗迹呀，就是说这些村子是活的，它有自己的符号系统。就是很多设计师，很多所谓的都市规划者，他在做他的那个设计的时候，他是先有一个前提，就是先清空，好干净了以后有一个所谓的蓝图进去，就是这个怎么弄怎么弄。韩国是这样子啊，中国是这样子，然后可能印度一些地方也是这样子。可是更有趣的一个，或者说我们要做的事情，就是你先承认他已然在场的那些东西，也包括那些已然在场的符号，他们的符号性的语言和他们的一种存在的机制，然后你在这个基础上，你再做你想要加入的一些东西。也就是说，回到你的那个问题，就是你在各种符号之间怎么选择。当然这个问题落实到展览是一回事情，可是其实我们想问的问题恰恰不是这个问题，而是其实没有一个符号可以马上做出一个判断，说就优于其他符号在某某某某某某情况下，而是我们要问的是这些符号如何联合起来，如何重新连接到一起去合作。所以我们要把这个不同层面的和不同维度的多元的这种符号的存在给也不是说把它结构好，因为我们没有一个好像一个配方，就说啊这个100%里面100%的这个民间民族风啊，100%的那个民族主义啊，100%的那个反资产阶级、反资本主义什么，我们没有一个这个所谓配方的这个东西。所以我们就是在提出这个问题，我们在做这个展览的时候，就是要包括我们在做很多事情的时候，就是想要把这些不同的语言系统和符号系统给重新连接到一起，然后看能够怎么样。这就是我们在实践时候的一个基本的出发点。那德里这个城市其实它现在之所以变得那么有趣，也很大程度上得益于它的这个各种符号仍然的在场。
Even if you have no concern with the other person, you still have to live in the same space, like we all do that for example in the city space. We do co-inhabit. The question is, what is the mode of the co-inhabiting? Is it one of turning one's, like for example in Delhi, the riverThe city has turned its back on that. That's one strategy of, so the river has become a very big gutter. That's one strategy of looking at a river, and then there can be other ways. Or even other, of course, I'm giving a very exaggerated example, but we all co-inhabit space. You can call that a coalition, but I wouldn't do that. I would just call it the idea of co-inhabiting and modes of co-inhabiting. What are the modes one finds? Because coalition implies that there is a kind of conscious...acknowledgement of each other, which would be implied in coalition. Co-inhabiting does not imply that. So it's an open, it's much more open-ended. The second thing is the question of anxiety. You know, when you create a platform or a space or even propose an idea, it is the idea, for us, the crucial concept is one of context generation. You generate a context. You don't say that the context has to be filled by X or Y or Z, butUnless the context is generated, there cannot be the playing out of X and Y and Z on that, because there is no context to play it out on. So, if you think of, so for us, the idea of the exhibition is a kind of generation of context. On that context, you invite and open the possibility of people with different concerns, possibly similar, possibly entirely different, to come not together, not necessarily together, but over time, you have to acknowledge the presence of others. How you acknowledge that presence is also up to you. What we are trying to do is create a context where these questions become more real than, say, when you are walking on the street. That in that context, you know, artistically they become more real. I mean,
actualized.
One is actualized. They become more actualized. That is the project over here. It's not that, you know, you have to then think of, let's all hug each other, or, you know, or we are all so stressed out about sustainability. It's not that. That's not. So we, in a sense, we don't have a theme. There is no theme for the exhibition.
Modes of communication, like you're saying, different from the ones that they were professionally trained in. This is an important concern, because we wanted to destabilize two or three clear hierarchies. The hierarchy between theory and practice, that there was an intellectual and that there was an artist. Or the hierarchy between social engagement and philosophical reflection, that there were some people who acted in the world and others who thought in the library. So our effort was always to create, and I think that the figure of the artist is an interesting engine or a pivot around which some of these notions can find life. Because to be an artist doesn't mean you have to commit yourself more towards making, or more towards thinking, or more towards planning, or more towards dreaming. These are all valid modes of artistic practice, right? And in a sense, it was also to provide that possibility where, let's say, if you look at our own biographies, we don't come from an art school context. We created a certain life of practice that then found its space in the world of contemporary art. We wanted to be able to create contexts within which these expressions could articulate themselves, where the question that you're asking, is this work by a philosopher or by an artist, cannot be asked, or has to be asked and answered in a different way. So the effort was to create a language where it is possible for the philosopher to be at play and for the artist to be at work, and for something to emerge between these different modes of activity.
Like role-playing game.
Except that it's not a game. It's kind of, yes, maybe to a certain extent a game, but it has also these elements of discovery and chance, where we create conditions for ourselves, where we can create completely new lives and new practices for ourselves. I mean, what stops...
You know, your question has a interesting... There was just because of Saramola, it suddenly struck us. There was this discussion between doctors, I don't know, it may be happening here also, doctors in big hospitals sometimes call the patient and their families for a discussion on health. So there was once this discussion in the big hospital in LNJP, wherever this neighborhood, people from this neighborhood was called, and they were being asked questions about the neighborhood, but basically about health and this and that. So this girl got up, and I know this girl, and she started talking about, there was this one little, small little courtyard in this neighborhood. It's a very beautiful courtyard, but which the medical practitioner would say dirty, this, that. So she started telling the story of this courtyard and said that, you know, like when people die, their body is brought here to clean, and we all sit around it. When a new bride comes to our neighborhood, she's brought there, everybody comes with to bless her. And she recounted 15-20 ways in which a new kid is born, the family gives sweets there, a survey is done, people gather there. So kind of 15-20 ways in which that courtyard has a life. Which, when she, it's a very beautiful text, and I remember once reading that text in a conference also, people thought that it was like, I am cooking up a fiction. It was so beautifully read. But the doctors couldn't understand it at all. Couldn't understand it. In a sense that they thought, this girl has got cookie. Mother, she needs to be treated. And it produced a very interesting problem for us, is that this role-playing thing, is it through role-playing, or there is a logic to a reason, that a certain form of reasoning that cannot hear another form of life?
And one of the work that we have done is a long series of work that we call it an acoustic reason, a reason that cannot hear. In a sense that, you know, anacostia is this huge space in the stratosphere where the sound don't come back to you. So basically, you speak, and there is no possibility of another mode to speak back to you. So you speak, and you want only the image of what you speak come back to you. And we realize that and this story. I'm just telling you the story. The reason is that there is a form of the thinking of a reason, which Adorno would call the very ground in which capitalism professional structure is produced. A form of instrumental reason that cannot actually hear anything that it does not understand. And we were looking at one court case. I am sure that kind of thing may be appearing here also in Canada. In the court, there was this. It's a big case, you know, on the logging company. We're taking the logs out of a big Native American settlement. They go to the court. The Native American three generation come to the court wearing their traditional dress and recite the genius as a poem, the whole story of the land. Full story of the land they recite for an hour. In the court proceedings, it is written, they sang the song of the land, full stop. Then the other part, there was no mention even what they sang. They sang the song of the land, full stop. It was like full major part of their proceeding. That was their evidence. And then the judge and the other arguments. So this is role playing does not capture the problem that we are engaging with, which is how do you translate your mode of thinking in a way, in a language that do not understand you. You know, how do you translate? So that's the problem. You know, it's a kind of an epistemic problem. Problem of what is knowledge constituted by. And as artists, I think one of the things that we understood over a period of 15 years, as being an artist is a great site of freedom. Because artist somewhere is taken little seriously in interstices of disciplines. Like if you talk to a scientist, he may take you little seriously and say that, you know, I may not understand fully. That's a kind of space. And you realize that you can interrogate and ask the question about this translatability of thought processes. How can you speak to a thought process and keep it open, you know, like, and be within your professional structure and be open to a form that you may not understand immediately. And I think presently in urban discourse, in medicine, there is this lot of the time you read lot of critical discourse, you find there is a problem of anacoustic reason. People are trying to make them see something that they cannot see in their optic. Make them hear a voice, hear something that is not hearable. It doesn't come. It doesn't register. It is not there as if it's vanished. So, and I think lot of our experimentation through Sarai, lot of experimentation in other with us ourselves, experimentation not socially in our own way, is trying to understand how many voices can you bring to bear in your mind. You know, how many voices are allowed to play, and how many ways in which you can be interrogated. You know, you yourself has to. So this exhibition will be a kind of, you can call it an incubator to further this thinking. Can we as artists produce this thinking? You know, produce a thinking on this thinking. So it could be. It draws from urbanism as much as it draws from the problem of anacoustic reason. You know, like. It is a serious conceptual problem of today. I think so. You know, like we have been discussing it for a day, and so many legal documents we have gone through, because a lot of our work in the last 10 years, 7 years back, we used to do on law. We did lot of work we did on law. So a lot of legal document, medical document. You read and newspapers. If you read, you find this is as if there is no as if you cannot read anything outside what you have said about the reasoning that you give. And this is one thing that we investigate in our
总结一下，就是说他们的研究呢是从一种都市研究这样的一个范畴出发，但 但是他的挖掘的那个纵深呢，是一种你作为一个艺术家的一种可能性。这可能性在于 OK， 每个人都有自己的角色扮演，你是设计师，我是建筑师，他是教师，诸如此类。那你势必有一种你的专业范畴内的一种语言，是你最熟练的一种语言。在日常范畴里，你也可能有符号和语言是你熟悉的语言，这就意味着在那些语言范畴里面你能理解一些东西。当那些理论，我说的不是说 theory 那个理论，是说你说理的那个理论， reasoning 的这个理论发生的时候，你能明白在说什么，你能读懂它。但是其实有很多的一种逻辑是你不能理解的，但这些逻辑它其实也存在，它以各种的符号的形式和各种语言的形式存在在这个社群里面，在我们这个，就举例来讲，在我们这个社会，在这个都市的空间里面。但是艺术家他们觉得，就本来他们也不是学艺术的专业出身，他们学媒体出身的，然后他们做了艺术家以后觉得有一个便利，就是艺术家不管你是一个律师也好还是一个医生也好，当你面对一个艺术家的言论和他的作品的时候，你会保持一定的尊重，就是说虽然我不太理解，但是似乎你这个有一点道理，这个是艺术家的一种优势。那么你在这个角色上，其实这个优势可能也存在于其他职业，只是你们就是在处理的时候，人为的把它想象的比较闭塞，没有打开自己的去翻译别人的语言的这个能力。那艺术家先天的占有一定的优势以后，他的一个工作就是想办法把，不管这是一个土著，还是这是一个医生，或者这是个律师，或者这是一个农民，他的语言和他背后的逻辑去一定程度的翻译，在翻译的同时，也让他保持一定的开放性，不把他说死，那么让他还活着。那这个翻译的工作觉得是 Sarai 在过去的20年在以德里的一个社会为一个面向在进行研究，也在带动各种那个艺术家来投入的时候，包括在编这8本的那个 Sarai 的那个读本的时候，他们的一个基本的一个方法。所以在第9个读本，也就是以这个展览为呈现方式的时候呢，他们其实也还是在做这样一个工作，就是不要把这个所谓一个逻辑性的和说得通的这样的一个点给局限到一个越来越狭隘的专业范畴。也就是说，医生只听得懂医生的话，如果你听不懂医生的话，那是你的问题，然后报纸只能说报纸的话，如果你看不懂报纸也是你的问题，诸如此类。我理解是这个样子，漏掉了很多内容，大家都基本上是如此。 I've skipped quite a lot, but I generally summarized
Essence.
But this, a major concept I forgot. 就是他们讲了一个关于语境那个问题 ，context. 这是他讲之前，就是 Monica 和舒达着重谈的，就是你创造出一种语境也好，或者你让这个语境能够保持它的活力。因为在这个语境之下，因为很多人你觉得你不在这个语境里面，所以你不懂嘛。那你这个翻译的过程，就是你把这个语境不断的给滋润，然后让它不断的有松动，这样大概就是这样。
So this was an acoustic reason work. It was a kind of, you produce a series of riddles. Of, this is an aeroplane door, so it stops you from seeing the sky, and it is in front of the sky. So how do you conceptualize a thing that is completely outside the terms within which you see that structure? So we made a series of riddles, and this work is made of those riddles, of how do you bring to mind a thought about something that does not is not built on the way you have actually structured. You don't see the sky in relationship to this in this way. So, and this is kind of a terrain of thought that has been with us for a long time. We the fuel and all these things, no, comes from trying to examine this. You know, where you become impossible to read another reason. So reverse engineering comes from this. Trying to basically understand this form of reasoning that may be locked in your own head as a professional, and you being mobilized for things that is beyond your control. You know, same with architects, maybe same with philosophers, and same with, so this double bind. You know, the classic Marx said, "No, double bind of labor." You oppose that which that which is needed to, you needed to survive, and you continuously oppose it. That's the structure of capitalist internal contradiction. I think we all have that spinning double bind. So to examine it.
像这个作品就是， 就是是一个类似于是不是一个保险箱呢，或者是什么防盗，就是
飞机飞机的一个
舱
门，
是舱门，
这
么眼熟。
This is actually a video.
这是一个视频的一个录像，是不是？但它基本上讲的也可以回应到你刚才的那个问题。其实就是内在的一个双重性，大家每次在做一个从自己的立场和那个范畴、职业范畴出发的事情的时候，同时你也被你的这个创作的这个结果所打击。那他觉得这资本主义也是这样，像我们个体也是这个样子。刚才莫妮卡提到的一点，我想起来了，就是，可能他不同意吉贝什说的一种联合 coalition， 他觉得是共存。其实现在基本上还没有达到一种程度，就是说你都不知道谁还在跟你一起活着，就是说除了你有存在，你有生命，你有诉求之外，他人的诉求是什么，是个什么状况，我们现在已经看不清楚了。那么首先你要让大家有一个基本的一个认识。也没有说最后会怎么样，但是先提到这一步，然后我们再来看，就是我们能发生什么关系。
There's another metaphor that may be useful for understanding this coming together and not staying together. It's the metaphor of journey and travel. Everyone may have different reasons for traveling. Everyone may have a different identity, but there is an identity and there is a way of being, which is the traveler. So when you're in an airplane, you either are business or economy. But let's say within the economy, you could be seated next to a doctor, you could be seated next to a housewife. You have a certain direction of movement, not necessarily the same destination, because your flight might go here or your train might go somewhere else. You may be just taking a connecting flight. But for the duration of the travel, there is a sense of being co-travelers or fellow travelers. And that's an interesting identity, which is the identity formed by the directions and movements of your practice. The word sarai is actually meant to be, in many Asian languages, sarai means a resting place for travelers. So where you stop in the middle of a journey, or you are provisioning yourself before you go somewhere else. So in a sense, sarai incorporates within itself an understanding that many journeys have, for this moment, come together. They are going in some directions. There may be some exchanges. There may be some things that are formed of it. But the directions, but the journeys are not necessarily the same journey. And I think this business of co-inhabiting a moment of space and time has something to do with what the journeys of a philosopher, an architect, and an artist might be. But for different moments, there are coming togethers, in junctions and connections.
还有一个比喻可能更容易理解，就是我们在一定的时刻，你从不同的专业和范畴出发，可是我们在一定的行程里面，我们是在一起运动的，那这个运动是比较重要的，而不是说你最后到达哪里，或者说我们在一起多长时间呢，或者就是那个时候的那个在一起，而不是说打算着一辈子在一起的那种时刻，他觉得可能是不是他是 Sarai 的一个，因为
旅行的客栈，
对，因为 Sarai 的意思就是在中东那个时候商旅，包括在中亚甚至可能到敦煌都没一定，就是在阿拉伯世界比较多的就是一个客栈，就是你骆驼什么在那儿休息，其实你当时有一段路可能是跟他在一起，那个晚上你们是在一起的，那个时刻你能够做一些什么样的事情，你因为你必须承认那个时刻你住在一起，那种又是行程，同时你又在一起，同时你还有自己的一个出发，你也有自己的归宿，但是他觉得 Sarai 的那个取的这个含义可能就是这样子，包括他们在过去这1000个年轻人来了走，他们其实也是从不同的地方来，然后去往完全不同的领域，但是可能就是因为有这样一段时间的运动，使得他们在某一些点上可以，就是他们的创造性也好，他们的思维也好，都被打开了嘛。
This is based on a photograph that we found in an archive. It's taken exactly 101 years ago. It's in the surveyor's office in Calcutta, and there are several men
who are undertaking the task of survey. It's a photograph by a British photographer called James Waterhouse. And then we take that photograph and kind of create a think about the photograph.
这是101年以前一个英国的摄影师拍下的加尔各答的一个调查局里面的一些场景，然后他们把它做成了一个短片。就是我去年就是夏天的时候两个月的时间在德里嘛，然后我这个读书的那个地方就是在他们楼上，他们 Sarai 那空间非常的小，其实比这边却稍微大一点，他有个咖啡吧，然后有个档案馆，然后档案馆里面就是整墙的都是他们一些研究性的一些资料和以前的可能参与者写的东西吧。嗯，就是最鼎盛的时候据说一天那边可以有100个年轻人汇聚在一起，然后他们通常比如说发一个邀请函出去，你不管你在印度的什么地方，他们自己有个 guest house， 你可以获得一部分的基金资助，然后你来德里然后做一个研究，或者你也可以回到你的地方去继续做研究。当时正好七月份的时候有一个83年生的一个男孩子，他是现在是印度最重要的报纸《Hindu》那个印度报的那个记者，他写了一篇关于德里的旧城里面的一个普通的移民，其实是个农民工的一个生活，但是他这个其实是从2003年他就开始写，在他们的那个指导下，经常呢就是交流，然后到了他边写一边在网上发表，然后后来那个企鹅这个出版社就看中了他，就最后把他就出书了。然后一直到去年是2011年的时候，这本书就出版。我觉得是个很好的例子，就是说，因为他们背靠着的是 CSES 这样一个比较大的学术机构，然后他们全力的推动支持。其实这个男生一开始的想法是挺幼稚的，然后后来慢慢的，其实到现在可能最后成熟仍然有欠完善，但最后他能够吸引到很多人，然后来关注这个男生的一个创作，这是对年轻人非常大的一种鼓励，而且这个鼓励是一种真诚的很长时间的一个帮助，而不是说一种吹捧式的那个好像让他成为一个明星那种感觉。所以就这个案例让我觉得还是挺感动的。两页的，我从没见
And it's called an afternoon unregistered on the Richter scale. So Richter scale, as you know, is measuring earthquakes. So it's an afternoon that cannot be registered in any kind of measuring. Everything, a lot happens, everything changes, but it all happens so quietly that you can't actually, you know, past becomes future, becomes cosmic, becomes back to something quite small. But it's, you can't measure it on any measuring system.
就类似于就是其实有大事发生但是就像一个寻常的下午一样那样过去就让我想起那个什么日常生活的革命之类的第一页讲的就是事情好像历史就是这样每一天继续下去但其实很大的转折已经发生了所以他们就在这个片子里面我怀疑他们是不是用电扇和那个人的手以及那个抖动的那个玻璃瓶来表示这是一张竞争的照片可是它记录的其实是一个地震的下午可是它没有被记录就是这是跟时间很有关系的很历史和日常很有关系的一个作品。